Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 15th of Kislev. Today we're going to discuss Rav Moshe Feinstein's thoughts about converting a woman who is already married to a Kohen and the complications that come with that. So it's a response from the 15th of Kislev, Tovshin Chaf Bet, which was the early winter of 1961. It's from Igros Moshe Eben Ezer, Chelek Bet, response from Dalid. So it's from the second time he came to Eben Ezer questions, his Shuvot, the fourth one in that section. He's writing to a rabbi in Detroit. And what happened is that a man comes from what's called a Mishpacha Chashuva, which I think means that they certainly keep mitzvot. They may even be more than that, maybe a prominent family. And he has left the religion in terms of he's not observant anymore. He married a non-Jew. They have children already. And the family has separated themselves from him. They have shunned him, they have distanced themselves, whatever the right word is. But he comes now to them and he says, listen, if you're willing to convert her and the children, then we'll do that. And it sounds like they're even saying, and we'll keep mitzvos. But if not, so he says, he's going to then be yishtameit. So I think yishtameit here means he's going to convert to another religion. Meaning, I think in marrying her, he's already abandoned observance. I think the idea is he's going to convert to another religion. And they're worried about that. I think that was a bit of, I mean, he means that he'll just not be observant at all anymore, as he hasn't been until now, or he'll be even more less observant. And the challenge here and the problem here is that he's a Kohen. So if he's a Kohen, there's one of the rules of Kohanim is that they're not allowed to marry converts for various reasons that we don't have to get into, but that's the halakha that we have. They're not allowed to marry a convert. So she converts, he's still not allowed to marry her. Now, he's less maybe not allowed to marry her than if she's a Giyah, than if she was not Jewish, but he's still not allowed to marry her. So that's the question. And the question is, do you, and this comes up in lots of other contexts, usually to a less extreme extent, do you give in to somebody who is saying, well, these are the rules, this is what I'm willing to do, and if you don't do this, I'm going to do something worse. So to what extent do we accommodate this thing, to the extent we don't? It's a very broad question. This is an example of it. But here, Rav Moshe Feinstein says he doesn't see any way to accommodate him, which will mean he's not making a policy decision. He's not saying, I don't think it's a good idea. He said, I don't think we can. And we're going to get into why that is. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch in that he doesn't think it's possible to do so. There are others who disagree, but that's what he is going to hold. Because he says, if, let's say, he could have converted her and then married her, right? So let's suppose it's another Jew, a regular, ordinary Jew. Let's assume the conversion is valid and that he can marry her. And then he marries her and they build a Jewish life. So it's not good because one isn't supposed to convert people to marry them, men or women, right? There's a problem in halacha with somebody converting for the sake of marriage. Even if it becomes the best conversion in the world, there's an issue there. But let's suppose that you could do that. So then the question of whether they should agree or not agree. So you might have said, but that was dependent on actually debate between the Ramah and the Taz in Yoredeya, Shin Lamed Dalet, Siv Katan Aleph. That the Ramah quotes a Maharaj, Trumas Adeshin. Trumas Adeshin says that if somebody is liable for a Nidui, let's remember Nidui is when a court decides that, or even just one Talmid Chacham, if he's a significant Talmid Chacham, or if the circumstances are significant enough. If there's a decision that nidui is required, nidui is a lighter form of shunning than cherem, but it's a disciplinary action that's supposed to happen in halacha. We don't have it so much anymore, but the disciplinary was that if somebody declares somebody else to be a nidui, validly so and appropriately so, then other people are supposed to limit their interaction with that person. It's a way of showing that you want to be part of our community, you have to follow our communal discipline, and if you don't, you can't be part of the community. It's broken down for various sorts of reasons, but that's where the halacha was. So let's say you have somebody who's obligated in nidui. There's a reason why they should be put in nidui, and they say, listen, you put me in nidui, I'm converting to Christianity. So this is already in the Trumas Adeshin, who's in the 1500s, the early late 1400s, early 1500s. Sorry, he's the early 1400s, early to mid 1400s. So already in his time, this was a problem. You had people who would say things like this. So he says, doesn't matter. If they're really obligated in Nidui, you put them in Nidui. Because otherwise, basically, they're going to have an easy way to blackmail us to avoid the discipline they need. The Taz disagreed. The Taz felt that we didn't have to put them in Nidui there. We can look that up another time. That's not for our topic. The Chatam Sofer thinks the Ramah is right. And so to the Gra seems to pass them like the Ramah. So you might have argued that here that you don't have to follow that. Meaning, it seems like, halakhically, the fact that somebody threatens to convert out of the religion is not a a threat to which we respond. We don't accede to it. We don't give it to it. If they were supposed to get nidui, we shun them anyway. And if they want to go down that wrong path, that's their problem. We can't be responsible for the choices they make, which is a whole topic of its own, but not our topic. Right? That topic of when do we say to people, listen, this is the choice that I have to make. You now get to make the choices you have to make. I hope you'll make good choices, but if you don't, that's up to you and not me. That's a hard set of questions. Rav Moshe Feinstein says here, you might have argued that you don't have to say that at all, because the Ramah and the Trumat HaDeshen and the Chatam Sofer and the Vilna Gaon had said it in a situation when there's an obligation of Nidui, meaning Nidui, this lower form of shunning or excommunication is not just a right of a court or a right of a Torah scholar. There are some circumstances. The whole discussion is a chapter in the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, I think, but it might be in, I think it's in Hilchos Mamrim, about Nidui, about when, or it might be in Hilchos Dama Torah, about when we're obligated, when somebody is liable for Nidui. So whatever that is, those are situations where there's a halakhic obligation to put them in Nidui. And the Rambam is saying, we don't let them threaten us to not do that. But here, the question of the family shunning this person, that's a family question, right? It's not so completely obvious that that's what they're required to do. There are reasons to think they're required to do that. There are reasons to think a Beit Din might have stepped in various ways, but it's not completely obvious that in 1961, wherever they're in Detroit, that there's an absolute obligation of the family to shun a person. There's an obligation to be upset about it, right? It's a violation of the Torah, but how you handle those things isn't so quite so clear. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein says, you might have thought that the threat that the person will leave the religion completely or convert to another religion is one that we would worry about, we would take seriously, and therefore we would allow ourselves to convert this woman in order to avoid this greater terrible crime, terrible sin of this man converting to another religion. But the problem is, he's a Kohen, and he's not allowed to marry a Giyoret. So first thing is, you wouldn't have said to the family, listen, why don't you do a sin by helping him convert and marry a Giyoret, a convert, when he's not allowed to, because we don't say, the Moshe Feinstein says, we don't say to a person, listen, do a sin because it'll help this other person. Did not do a greater sin. We don't do that. So, that's a problem. So with a Jew, a regular Jew, who could have married a convert, so then there's room to be lenient to convert her, even though we know she's converting for marriage, because that's obviously what she's doing. But Moshe Feinstein says that's not as clear a prohibition. Converting a man or a woman, to be able to marry somebody is what the Gemara describes as being what a Beit Din Shel Hedyotot does. It's what Batei Din courts that are staffed by Hedyotot. Now, Hedyot is a word that sort of means ordinary or uneducated or not fully educated. It's unclear what it means. So it says in the Gemara, the Batei Din Shel Hedyotot Mikablin, and the Rambam Paskins that way. So Rav Moshe Feinstein tells us that here in this context, the meaning of Hedyotot is people who are not full Torah scholars, but they are valid to sit on a court for conversion. So they don't know what they're doing really, but it's not like their conversions are completely invalid. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but if we say that but they didn't shel Hedyot do such things, Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that if it was prohibited, then they wouldn't do it. Right, they wouldn't violate the Torah in order to do something like this. It's just that we're not supposed to do it. It's not a good idea. And the Hedyotot, these people who don't have full Torah values, I guess, who don't fully understand the reasoning and the logic behind the Torah, they don't understand it. Therefore, they say, nah, it's better to convert people, even though they're converting just for the sake of getting married. It's better to help them out. That would be the way the Batei Din Shel Hedyotot. Now, that's a set of assumptions by Rav Moshe Feinstein that I'm not going to argue against, but easily I could imagine going differently. I could have imagined that it was prohibited, just that people were doing it. Either they didn't know the prohibition, or they didn't really care about the prohibition, they didn't know what to do about it, because the way the Rambam says it, actually, is that there were all sorts of circumstances that they didn't accept converts. In the time of David and Shlomo was the time they didn't accept converts, because they were worried that the Jews were so ascendant, that the being Jewish seemed so good, people would convert without the best motives, and they wouldn't really appreciate what Judaism was. They wouldn't really intend to become Jewish, even in times of difficulty. But there were nonetheless many people who converted, because they converted if they had Yotot. That's what the Rambam writes in the section of Hilchot Isuri Bia, which is 13:15, that the Rambam sends us to. But then he says right there, Vayu Beit Din Agadol Choshishim Lahem, that courts would be, the courts staffed by the real Talmidei Chacham, by the Torah scholars who knew better, they would be choshish, they would be suspicious, they would be uncertain as to the validity and the propriety of this conversion. So I think there, theoretically, one could read that Rambam even more stringently than Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying that shows to him that if you eventually convert somebody, if a court decides to convert somebody for the sake of marriage, even though it's not the right thing to do, even though it's not the best thing to do, nonetheless, it takes effect and it's valid because you see these Hidyotot did it. I'm not positive that we won't have to do that. It doesn't help, even though that's a leniency that he has here, but it's not going to help us in our case of the Kohen because the Kohen is going to be more complicated. So let's just stop and make sure we understand that the Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying that yes, there is a halacha on the books that we don't convert people for the sake of getting married to a Jew or a Jewess. That halacha, he thinks, maybe isn't halacha b'dieved, it's just sort of not so clear because the Hedyotot were doing it. Hedyotot were doing it means it must not be absolutely prohibited, it's just that we're opposed to it. We don't like it, but not that it's absolutely prohibited. That's a discussion one could have. In any case, that would have been a road to leniency for an ordinary Jew. That if a court converted this woman, then the conversion is valid. And then if it's valid, he's allowed to marry her because now she's Jewish. And then in a situation where you're worried that the Jewish partner to this relationship might convert to another religion, unless we do this, Rav Moshe Feinstein says there would be room to say that we would allow it in such situations for these reasons because of all the things we just said. But with a Kohen, you can't do that. Because, first, even if she is mitgayeret, even if she converts, and we said that it's a valid conversion, right? Here you have the complication that no conversion is valid unless the convert fully intends to keep mitzvot. Right? The Kabbalat mitzvot is, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out several times, it's not that we like that in a conversion, not that we require that in a conversion. It's that the conversion completely is invalid unless one does it. So that's an important set of things that people don't realize, right? There's sets of rules. Sometimes there's a rule where if you violate the rule, I say, what am I going to do? You violated the rule, I'm unhappy with you that you violated, right? If somebody speeds, they drive from point A to point B, but they speed the whole way. They violated the law, but they reach point B. But there are situations where unless you do something, you haven't done it. It hasn't taken effect. So let's suppose in American contract law, let's suppose you had an agreement in principle, and then the contract never got signed. There was never any complete completion of the sale. So it just didn't happen. You might have wanted it to happen. You thought it would happen, but it doesn't happen. So here, Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying that unless a convert intends to keep mitzvot, now, sometimes they don't know about a lot of mitzvot, but they have to intend to keep all the mitzvot they eventually find out they have to do. Unless they do, they're not converts. So, and that's true if a convert says, listen, right, so this is an important point that Rav Moshe Feinstein says, listen, if a convert says, listen, I know there's a lot of halachot, I want to keep a lot of halachot, I intend to keep all the halachot, but you should know, I'm so connected to non-kosher wine, I'm going to keep drinking non-kosher wine. Now, if you have an ordinary Jew who drinks non-kosher wine, so we say it's a sad thing, right? We're not happy about it, but certainly they're still Jewish. They're Jewish. They're just a Jew who, like, unfortunately, most of us, has a weakness in their relationship with Hashem. But with a non-Jew trying to convert or coming to convert, if they intend not to keep something, they know it's a halach and they intend not to keep it, that makes them not a convert. It invalidates the entire conversion. And Rav Moshe points out that we have other examples of this in halacha. You have examples, someone wants to gain the status of a chaver. So a chaver is somebody who halachically is accepted in halacha as being observant to a proper extent in various ways. So that issue of being a chaver is one that only comes if the person accepts all the issues of chaver, whatever they may be. So too, there's halacha in a bright that he quotes, that any Kohen who doesn't accept certain halachos of the kahuna, of the certain requirements and practices of being a Kohen, the bright that says, ein lo chelek b'kahuna, he doesn't get a share of the kahuna, of the priesthood. And the Rambam, in the first chapter of Bikurim, and the first halacha of Hilchot Bikurim, the laws of those first fruits that one brings to Yerushalayim, says you don't give matanot to such a Kohen. Right, any of them, there are 24 gifts that are given to Kohanim by virtue of their service as Kohanim. Various ones, Bikurim is, for example, is one of them. And he says, you don't give them to a Kohen who's not Modeh B'Kahuna. So in other words, if a Kohen says, listen, I think everything about the Kohen, but I don't think a Kohen is supposed to get the Zroat I don't think he should get that part of, if a regular Jew shechts an animal, this doesn't happen so much today because of the ways they set up slaughterhouses, but in times gone by, if somebody owned an animal of their own and wanted to slaughter it to eat the meat, so you were supposed to give the gift of the zro l'chayam keva, the leg and the cheek and the inside stomach, one of the inside stomachs, to a kohen. The kohen says, I don't agree. I don't think that's a real halacha for kohanim. So he's not modeh. He doesn't accept that halacha of kohanim. The Rambam passes. We don't give any of the matnot kuna to this kohen. He's not part of the system, because rejecting any one part of it makes you not part of the system. Okay, so if that's true, right, then that's a halacha, he says, by a ger as well, by converts as well, you have a similar halacha. That if a convert doesn't accept any mitzvah in the Torah, so they're not a convert. So it's true that a convert doesn't have to know all the mitzvot in the Torah. You might say, well, what do you mean? We see people converted all the time and they don't know, pick excess esoteric halacha that doesn't come up that often. We say, that's true. It's not that we require converts to know the entirety of Torah before they're allowed to convert, but we need to know that they are mikabel mitzvot. They have to accept upon themselves that any halacha that they learn and come to realize is an actual valid halacha, then they have to keep it. So it could be anything, right? Any, even derabbanans. So, let's say they say, you convert somebody in the state of Israel, and then they come to America, right? And they don't know that there's such a thing as Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot. They have to keep a second day of all the holidays if you're outside of Israel for the holidays, or if you move outside of Israel for sure. And then they move, right? And then they say, oh, I never. So that can invalidate the whole conversion, as Ramosha finds his point. It's not just that they're a Jew who doesn't realize they have to keep certain halachot. It invalidates the whole conversion. So we don't tell them everything. So let's say they didn't hear it. Doesn't matter. They have to have not just the knowledge of the things that they do know, but also the open-ended willingness to accept upon themselves anything that they come to realize is halacha. Now, you can tell all sorts of questions. Well, what if X rabbi tells them it's halacha and Y rabbi tells them it's not halacha? That creates a set of challenges and concerns and issues, whatever. But they have to have a rav who's a posik for them, and they have to, at the moment of conversion, be sincerely intent on fulfilling all that which they find out is a halacha. So that would be a problem here. Why would that be a problem here? Because she's converting to stay married to a kohen, and yet it's a halacha that she can't stay married to a kohen because she's a convert. So it's embedded within the conversion itself, as Ramosha Feinstein's point. If she's married to an ordinary Jew, so we might have all sorts of questions about whether she really intends to keep mitzvot or not intends to keep mitzvot. That comes up a lot in questions of conversion. But here there's no question, because since we all know and realize the conversion for the sake of them staying married, and they can't stay married by halacha, then her conversion is clearly lacking in this, at least this one note, and that will be a problem. So he says, well, Moshe Feinstein now says, that I think he's clear that that's true, but there's a problem because it's a case in Shabbat. There's the famous converts of Hillel, right? Many of us know the convert of Hillel who said, convert me on the condition that you can teach me the whole Torah standing on one foot. And Hillel found this clever way to encapsulate all of Torah, in some sense, in one sentence, and teach it to him and then taught him the rest. Discussion for another time. I've actually discussed that I have a book called We're Missing the Point, where I tried to lay out what seemed to me some obvious and basic, clear and unequivocal points about what constitutes Orthodox Judaism. It is what it is, but I discussed that story there. It's not such a simple story. I don't think it's so clear that Hillel meant what he said fully, but that's not the story Moshe Feinstein wants to talk about anyway. One of the other stories there was, and this is a story that actually gave me pause as to whether how to understand that Agadata in Shabbos in general, was that Hillel converts a guy who says to him, I will convert and believe you about the Torah Shebichtav, about the written law. I'll believe you, meaning, Rav Moshe Feinstein understands, meaning I believe you that it's divine, I believe you that God gave it at Sinai, but I'm not going to believe you about the oral law. And yet Hillel converts him, and then eventually convinces him that he has to believe in the oral law. So the man said, it would seem like the man said, I'll believe you about X and not about Y, which sounds like he's not fully accepting the mitzvot, because part of Jewish faith and belief is that the oral law came at Sinai too, and yet Hillel seems to convert him. So Rashi says, Shehaya Hillel muftach she'achar she'ilamdenu yismoch alav. He was sure that after he taught him the right way, he would then agree to it, this convert. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, but that sounds like then he converted him, and when he dipped in the mikvah, he had not yet accepted the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law, which sounds like you can convert people even if they haven't fully accepted everything. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, maybe he thinks what Rashi means is that that's not quite the same thing as being kofer b'Torah Shebal Peh, as completely denying it, because if Hillel was sure that he could change his mind on it, it must mean that he had accepted the ideas of the Torah Shebaal Peh. He just didn't think that they were given from Hashem, and that therefore, in terms of accepting mitzvot, maybe he was willing to keep the whole law. Meaning, you could easily imagine people today. I know people today who would say, "I keep all the Darabonins as well. I think they're important to do. I just don't think anything in the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, comes from Hashem." So. But they keep everything. So Moshe Feinstein says, so maybe that's what was going on there. So he was willing to keep everything, and that would qualify as a Kabbalah mitzvot, even though he didn't think that it was divine. That's, a daring claim by Moshe Feinstein, because it means that this is a status that leaves a person not fully Jewish in terms of even a born Jew, meaning that it's a lack in their faith that is deeply significant in terms of how we treat them. I think the Rambam might, it's a whole question, I'm not ruling on this issue, but the Rambam might include them in various of the categories that lose their share in the world to come. And Moshe Feinstein is suggesting that it nonetheless counts as a Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, it counts as an acceptance of mitzvot, even though he doesn't believe that it came from Hashem. And then Moshe Feinstein says, but even if that's true, had Hillel known that the convert wasn't going to ever accept the Torah Shebaal Peh as being divine, and he wouldn't keep mitzvot, so then, even if it was because he hadn't originally known, it wouldn't matter. It would render the conversion invalid. So to Moshe Feinstein's comfort, he has explained that story and shown why it's not a contradiction to his position here, because that gear, that convert in Hillel's time, had what seems to qualify as a Kabbalah Ol Mitzvot. I think that's a very complicated way to read even the story, because it means that faith doesn't matter in terms of Kabbalah Ol Mitzvot. I'm not sure why that would be true. I think those stories in Shabbos are problematic in a lot of ways, because they are, and I'm just not convinced necessarily that when it says that the Hillel converted the person, that was the full conversion. And I think what Rashi might mean is that Hillel was sure that later on he would convince the guy that he would become, that you needed the oral law as well, and then he would reconvert in some way. And then would be when you'd have the full Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, but I don't know. And that's the way Rashi finds reading it now. In any case, it helps him to put away that story in terms of our case here, because that story is then different. So here, in our case, if she accepts all the mitzvot, she becomes, the firmest person in the world, except that she's going to stay in this marriage. She didn't accept the prohibition of a Giyorit marrying a Kohen. And that's an Isser in the Torah. That's an Isser in Halacha. She's not allowed to do it for the various reasons. So you have a problem. And Rosha points out something that I think we sometimes skip over, is that in the Halacha, that the Gemara in Yevamos says that if something's prohibited to the man in a relationship, in a marital relationship, it's prohibited to the woman as well. So you might have thought, well, that's the Kohen's problem. And therefore, maybe you could say, if her conversion is valid, because she's not rejecting a mitzvah or a halacha that applies to her, so Moshe finds it's not true. The Rava says in B'Yavamot Peidal, that Kol Hecha Tehu Musar, He Musar. Any place that he's warned against it, she's warned against it. V'nimtza Shelo Kibla Iser Zeh. And she has not, therefore, accepted this as part of her conversion. And therefore, you have this problem. And you have what he thinks is an insurmountable problem, because there's no way to create a valid Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot if her intent is to stay married to a Kohen husband, which is prohibited for both of them to do. Aside from which, Rosh Feinstein points out another complication of conversion. He says it's also hard to imagine that she's really accepting mitzvot because he's not observant. So if she's not going to keep halacha if she sees him not keeping halacha, and that is a question for conversion in general, right? If they convert into a certain kind of a community, a certain kind of an atmosphere, an environment, they'll think of themselves as full and good converts, but they might not have had a real Kabbalah mitzvot. They might not have ever intended to. So let's say somebody converts in an environment in which, nobody keeps Shabbos the row. Everybody texts on, everybody uses their phones on Shabbos. So this convert converts and then texts on Shabbos, and we have reason to believe that had they known that ahead of time, they wouldn't have kept it. So much of the whole problem. In any case, more than that, another set of problems here is there's something coming up in a second, but there's another case in the Gemara that he refers to. He also thinks very similar. There was a man who converted. So Rosh Feinstein points out that he actually suggested that then situations where you see somebody being observant, maybe you don't need a formal Kabbalah mitzvah, meaning if the Beit Din has every reason to believe they are observant, you might not need them to formally accept it. And then, even though it may turn out later that it was something they wouldn't have done, it wasn't a problem with Kabbalah mitzvah. Not our topic, because it's not really relevant here. He was just trying to explain away a Gemara. But there's another problem. There's another issue is that the rabbi who was approaching Rav Moshe Feinstein knew that Rav David Zvi Hoffman and the Muhammad Lahoel, and this is a historical discussion too, because the history was that in Germany in the 1800s and the early 1900s, many rabbis tried to accommodate the people in their midst who were assimilating and were creating all sorts of these kinds of halakhic complications. And one and Rav Hoffman was in many cases somebody who tried to help people get along and found halakhic ways to accommodate rather than to reject. That's a, when people leave the community in some way or diverge from communal standards and practices, do we respond by standing on principle and not allowing them in, or do we try to find a way to accommodate them? And that is a continuing question. Halacha comes up in all sorts of contexts. So here, the Melamed Lahoel had said that it's better to convert the woman, and that'll save the Kohen from this terrible Torah prohibition and maybe a Chayvei Krisus of being married to this non-Jewish woman and having all these problems, right? And rather turn it into an Isser Lav, to a, just a regular prohibition of being married to a convert, to a Giyoret that he's not supposed to do. So that's what Rav Hoffman had apparently said in Melamed Lahoel. Rav Moshe Feinstein closes the tshuva saying you don't have a Melamed Lahoel to check it out, but this man who would raise the question had raised that idea. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I don't understand. And the I don't understand is, I think, very important, because I think people who speak about conversion don't realize some of these complications, which are technical halakhic ones, technical legal ones, and therefore create certain problems even with the best will in the world. So first of all, he says, when you convert her, if she's not going to be observant, and this is something that always bothers me, so not only she, so for her it's a huge problem, I think, and Rosh doesn't say it explicitly, but I think he's thinking that as well. Let's suppose she converts. Let's suppose it's a valid conversion. One question was whether technically it's valid. So if the Mohammed Oil thinks that you should do it, but it's not valid, the Rosh is saying it's not valid, it doesn't work anyway. So it's like, doesn't make any sense to talk about it. So it happens to be, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the Melamed Lahoel had thought that it could be valid, and it's not equal for Kabbalah and Mitzvah. It doesn't get in the way of an acceptance of Mitzvah. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I don't understand why that is. Doesn't seem to rude to me. She's not willing to, she's in the act of conversion, making clear that she's not interested in keeping Mitzvah. But another question of converting such people is, let's suppose, however it was, you could get some kind of a meaningful Kabbalah and Mitzvah out of them, but we know they're not going to be observant. So for her, the convert, Rav Moshe Feinstein is focusing on him now, because the whole point was, well, maybe we should convert her to help him out by reducing the Isurim, the prohibitions that he's violating. But if she doesn't go to mikveh every month, then they live together as husband and wife. That's also a chiyuv karis, and it's a regular part of their marriage, right? And if she doesn't convert, then that prohibition isn't there, or it only exists at the Drabbanan level, because when it comes to having relations with non-Jews, the act of relations itself is not a chiyuv kares, it's a Drabbanan in these kinds of situations. So there is a law, there's a prohibition of being married to non-Jews, but that's not quite the same thing as a kares. It might be a serious prohibition, because if he's living among living with a non-Jewish woman among Jews, that could create a situation where theoretically, not that we would do it in a country where we have to observe the laws of that country, but theoretically, kanai and pogim both, theoretically, people who are deeply offended by what he does could kill him if they caught him in the act. So Rosh says it's not an unserious thing to be married to a non-Jew, but it's in fact less serious to be mad than being married to a Jew and not observing the halachos of Nida and of going to mikvah. There's also the Rabbanan Kares, although it might be, he says, if they're living among non-Jews, right, if they're so distant from the community, living among non-Jews, then it's not considered Parhesia, and therefore, meaning if he leaves the religion, then therefore it wouldn't be a Kanayim Pogim, well, it gets complicated. But basically he's saying it's not as bad to be living with a non-Jewish woman as it is to be living with a Jewish woman, if the conversion were to be valid, who is not keeping mitzvos, because there are all sorts of problems there. He says it could be that you could argue that if she doesn't convert, there are two prohibitions. There's a prohibition of being married to a non-Jew, and there's also the prohibition of being a zona, and there's also the problem that the children won't be Jewish. And the Rambam in Hilchos Yisuri Biyah had said that that's a huge loss, because that most arayos don't have. Meaning, with most prohibited marital and sexual relationships, if they have children, the child's Jewish, just God has deep flaws in terms of being able to marry other Jews. That's not something we want any either. But the Rambam points out with the non-Jewish woman, then the children aren't even Jewish at all, then that's also a deep problem. So nonetheless, so Russia says, so you could have this argument back and forth. Which way is worse? To stay married to this non-Jewish woman and have the non-Jews be, the children be not Jewish, and have the prohibitions of being married to and living with a non-Jewish woman, which are one set of prohibitions, weighing that against the question of marrying a convert who is not going to observe mitzvah, versus that's complicated calculus. He thinks that being married to the Jewish woman who's not keeping any mitzvahs, it will end up being worse, but he could have argued that point. But it comes back to the original question, which is, he doesn't think conversion can be valid because he doesn't think there is a Kabbalah's mitzvahs here, even though the Melamed Lahoel thinks there was. So, for the 15th of Kislev, we have our response of the day, question of whether one can convert non-Jewish women under the threat that the Jewish partner will abandon the religion and convert to another religion if we don't do it. That's the question A of how we respond to that kind of a threat. But B, and more importantly for this particular case, the question of what counts as a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if in the act of conversion we know there to be something that the convert intends to continue doing because it's the reason for converting, and that is a violation of the Torah, there cannot be a conversion here. It doesn't valid. It doesn't work. It can't be valid. It won't be valid. It doesn't work. And therefore, there's nothing to talk about in this situation. That's a responsible day for the 15th of Kislev. Have a great day.